just to be able to worship my Savior. So for those of you that have your Bibles, going to be in the Gospel of Mark, very familiar scripture. As we prayed about this day, this is what God settled us on. You're going to be in the Gospel of Mark, the second chapter. We're going to start at the first verse, and we'll read until the Lord says it's enough. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born afore. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they broke it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But that there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoned in their hearts, Why doeth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sin but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sin be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it in this fashion. Praise God, bless His holy name. You can be seated. And I love how it starts up. And again, he entered into Capernaum. Well, glory to God, I don't know about you, but I love having an active Savior. I like to have a Savior. He's moving, He's going, He's doing. And glory to God, that's Jesus. Well, preacher, I don't know about you. He's not been very active in my life. Well, glory to God, that has nothing to do with Jesus, but everything to do with you. Are you active for the Lord? Are you moving for God? Are you putting God first? Well, if you do, He'll get moving in your life. Praise God. Bless His holy name.
Yes, sir.
Tell you, I just love the Word of God. I quote this verse a lot. Every word of God is pure, and He is a shield to them that put their trust in Him. And see, the Word of God, it's pure today.
Yes, sir.
It's pure. So, preacher, what about trusting Him? Glory to God, I'm going to say this. The best thing that ever happened to me, I was trusting Jesus to be my Savior. I was lost and undone. I was so hard-hearted, I couldn't believe that He would even save a guy like me. I was so mean. But when I called on His name, He saved my soul and made me a new creature. And, Jay, I've trusted Him every day since.
Yeah, man.
We're just going to follow the Lord this morning.
Yeah.
He said he entered back into Capernaum after so many days, and it was noise about that he was in the house. Well, glory to God, I want to preach to you in this scripture that I read in your hearing. There is the living church, and there's the dead religion. Religious. There's a lot of dead religious people in this world we're in today, and this scripture brings it out plain. Glory to God. First of all, it says it was noised about. Church, glory to God, we got to be about praising Jesus.
Yeah,
how's a lost and dying world going to know that Jesus is in the house unless we go about praising His name? Well, I do all my praising in church. Glory to God, that's good, but you need to go about where the other people are and tell, hey, you know, at Mount Zion, Jesus is in the house. See, that's the living church right there. The lost and the undone are the ones that are not saved. Well, preacher, why you keep calling me undone and lost? Well, you got to be a sinner before you can get saved.
Yeah,
and yes, I was a sinner.
Yes, sir.
Now I'm a saint.
Yeah,
not by anything I did, not by anything by my merits, but by the grace of God and the blood of Jesus.
Yeah,
so people got to talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
Got to talking about all that he did. You know, church, and the hour that we're living, the only time you hear testimony about how somebody was saved, it's coming for preachers. I get tired of hearing them dried old testimonies about preachers getting saved. It seems like every time they get in the pulpit, they got to talk about their grace experience. Well, glory to God, when I got saved and God placed me at Faith Missionary Baptist Church, them old saints will get around the altar and say, I want to tell you about when Jesus saved me. I was 6 years old when Jesus saved me. And if I go to the church where they saved me, it'll be about here. It'd be about there. A church, we got to get up and share our testimony.
Yeah,
in the hour that we're living.
Yeah,
it's not just a preacher's job.
Right.
It's not just a deacon's job. A church, how is the lost and undone going to know what it's like to get saved unless we start standing up and say, this is how Jesus saved me.
Yeah,
now, preacher, you're getting hard. I've always been accused of that. Had a man say, that guy gets too much in everybody's business. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not trying to get in your business.
Right.
I'm trying to preach the word and let God get in your heart and show you where you need to move closer to him.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. That's what it's about. See, they noised. They went about talking about Jesus. You'll not find a greater a redeemer. You'll not find a greater healer. You'll not find a greater a brother. You'll not find a greater a savior than Jesus. Church, we need to be telling people all about who he is, what he's done, and where he's been, and what he's going to do.
That's exactly right.
You know what I love about the Word of God? I love the Gospels, the four Gospels. Three Gospels record this very same story. But the book of Luke talks about this story and says that on a certain day, that means a predetermined day, a day that God made, and where that's Luke chapter 5, if you want to follow along, Jesus entered the house and he was teaching, and there was Pharisees and doctors of the law and rulers of the people there while he was teaching. And you know what the Bible says? And the Spirit of the Lord was there to heal them.
Yeah.
See, the dead religious, they got hope too.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Well, preacher, what is it to be dead religious? I like what Noah Webster wrote in the 1828 dictionary. Glory to God. He said a Pharisee is somebody who has rules and regulations and sanctimony, but they lack the Spirit. Being a dead religious person, you may have all the sacrimonies, you may obey all the rules, but you lack the most important thing, and that is the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Glory to God. See, said he straightway and entered in the house. And here come all the doctors of the law. Who were they, preacher? They were the educated people. They knew all the law of Moses. They knew the prophet. They knew every jot and tittle. They knew it all, Jay. And boy, they looked down at everybody because they were the leaders. They were the religious ones. I'm going to tell you something. If you're banking on religion to get to heaven, you're not going to the same place I'm going. I'm not going because I'm religious. I'm going because I believe in Jesus' holy name. And I called on his name, and he saved me. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord in the last days shall be saved. Being religious is going to keep you dead. Dead. So you need to get saved. I don't care how religious you are, you need to be saved.
Yeah, man. That's exactly right.
See? Straightway he entered into the house. He was preaching the word. Oh, Jay, you're right. You guys pray. We're going to preach what God gave us, but I don't want to keep it too long. Preaching the word. You know, we're living in a day and time where people want to preach fairy tales and great novels written by men. They want to preach to you events that's going to take place. And glory to God, they'll get in great detail. But Jay, you know what's lacking? I haven't read it in the Word of God.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you now, I don't care what doctrine you uphold or what you believe, if it's not between the two covers, if it's not from in the beginning until the amen of Revelation, I'll tell you it's a fairy tale. And don't bank your soul on it.
Amen.
Now you're beating up on different doctrines. No, I'm not. This is the doctrine of God. This is the word we believe. This is what we uphold. And if we got somebody preaching something else, glory to God, and you can't find it in here, you got the right to say you're not preaching God's word.
Amen.
I'm going to tell myself a little bit. The last church I pastored, they ended up losing their building. And I went to a premillennial church. Now, wait a minute, don't you get me. I'm not beating on premillennials. I'm going to tell you what kind of man of God my pastor was. His name was Scott Young. And me and Scott said, you know, we don't see thing eye to eye. I said, Scott, here's the cure. We just preach what God's word says.
Amen.
I won't preach what I believe,
right.
And you won't preach what you believe. And if we would just preach what God's word be, what God's word says, you can be premillennial. Because God's word is not going to contradict itself.
Right.
And you can be all millennials. If it's God's word, nobody's going to get confused.
Right.
Just preach the word.
Amen. That's exactly right, Joe.
And leave all the fairy tales out there in the novel land. Well, that's hard, preacher. You shouldn't have brought that up. Well, that's the truth. If I preach just God's word, it confuses you. You can say, that's God's word.
Exactly right.
I love God's word. Yeah, he was preaching the word, preaching to them the gospel of salvation. And glory to God. You know what the living church does? They see the needs of a dying soul. They see the needs of a sinner. And they know, well, you know what? I know this Jesus. This Jesus made a new creature out of me. And this soul needs to get to Jesus. Glory to God. How do we get them to Jesus? Well, glory to God, it's a work. And it takes the church, the living church, to do it. And glory to God, here we have four people. It said it was born to four. What that means is all four of them grabbed the end of his poor couch where he couldn't, while he was sick of the palsy. What's that, preacher? He was paralyzed. And I like what Webster's 1828 dictionary says about the palsy. It was a disease that paralyzed you. And he went as far as to say it was brought on because of sin.
Amen.
You mean Noah Webster put that in an English dictionary? Yes, he did. I'm not talking about the liberal American, great, 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 great grandson. I'm talking about Noah Webster.
Amen.
He was a God-fearing, God-loving man. And he explained being sick of the palsy was because of sin. If you're here lost and undone, you're paralyzed spiritually. Your soul can't get to Jesus. What do you mean? It takes the living church to get you to Jesus. A church, you got a lot of responsibility getting sinners to Christ. It takes the church. The church is the spiritual mother. And without the spiritual mother, a soul cannot get born. It takes the church to labor. And when she travails as a mother and child, she'll bring forth her sons and daughters. So church, it's going to take you to get these lost souls to Jesus. We do that by grabbing our corner.
Amen.
How do we do that? Down on our knees, explaining to God, God, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Amen.
Now that's not my words. Jesus said that as he hung on the cross for their sin and was shedding his blood to redeem their soul. He was crucified, and they put upon him our sin. God did. He that Jay already quoted, he that knew no sin became sin. So Jesus was the sacrifice once and for all.
Amen.
See, church, we got to get them to Jesus.
Amen.
We got to pray the same thing Jesus did. You know, instead of saying, God, Father, here I die a terrible, agonizing death. The blood in my body is flowing out. I'm in great agony. I can't get a breath. God, strike them down. No, he said, Father, forgive them.
Amen.
For they know not what they do. See, Jesus prayed for you on the cross,
yes,
and it takes the living church to get down and get serious with God and pray, God, save their souls.
Amen.
That's how you get your corner.
Amen.
Why not grab them by the hair of the head and drag them to church and force them to come? That's how you do it. I'm going to tell you, until you start doing knee work, that physical work ain't going to get it done.
Amen.
You're going to drive them away from Jesus if you're not praying about getting them to Jesus.
Yeah, man.
See, there's a lot of, you're making it sound like I got to put a little overtime in to see a soul saved. Is your son, your daughter, your mother, your dad, your grandpa, your grandma, your grandchild, are they worth spending a little time on your knees asking Jesus to save their souls? If they are, who cares about how long?
Amen.
And just stay faithful to God and ask him to save their soul.
Amen.
See, that's what a living church will do.
Yes,
well, what about the dead religion? Well, I'm afraid it's rampant in our land today, Jay. Luke went on to say, they were just sitting by.
Yep.
You know, every time you read in the Bible about the dead religious just sitting by, something terrible happened. You know, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, it said they were sitting by.
That's the word.
They were sitting by and watching Jesus die.
Right.
That's the dead religious.
Amen.
You know what? The dead religious, they don't care about the lost. They don't care about sinners. They don't think about them. It never crosses their mind. All they want to do is sit and listen. Maybe if I listen long enough, the preacher will say something and it'll contradict, and I don't have to believe what he's preaching.
Bless him, Lord.
Because every time Jesus went to preach, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes, they only came to hear what they can find wrong with what he said. Preacher, you're mean. No, I'm just trying to preach to you the Word of God. Here was four men that loved the lost sinner so much, they were willing to work at it, to get this poor man to Jesus. And you got the dead religious in the midst, and the dead religious, all they want to do is sit by and sit around. Oh, look at that. Look what they're trying to do. There's a man on a cot. There's a man on his bed, and all they want to do is get in the way. We're trying to hear what this man can say so we can say, hey, we heard him. I'll tell you, dead religion. Well, you got more scripture? Blessed is he that standeth not in the way of the sinner. Blessed is he that sitteth not in the seat of the scornful. Well, glory to God, I'm afraid the dead religion, they're so scornful, they're ready to tear down anybody. Well, you look at brother and so, he's so busy doing things around the church, I think he probably thinks he's getting a good name and a few pats on the back. Look at him. He's trying to make everybody notice him. I'm going to tell you, that's the dead religion. They don't care about what's being done for Jesus. They don't care what's getting done at the house of God. All they want to do is make sure everybody knows he's just doing it for a good name.
Amen.
Well, that's hard preaching, preacher. You know what Jesus called the dead religious people? Oh, you whitewashed sepulchers full of dead man's bones.
Amen.
He said, you look good outside, but inwardly you're dead. That's pretty hard preaching. But that's not my words. Brother James, that's Jesus saying that. So these dead religious folk, they're just sitting there
watching Jesus. They're so intent for Jesus to say something wrong, they don't realize that the living church is still at work. Well, glory to God, living church, that dead religious can't stop her. Glory to God, if you're truly born again and redeemed of the blood, you're not going to let dead religious people get in the way. Well, praise God, preacher. I tell you, people have told me, and I've had them come. I would come back, but there's so many hypocrites in that church. Well, glory to God, I'll tell you this. Dead religious people, that's the way they be. But the living church,
Amen.
They don't let nobody stand between them and Jesus.
That's exactly right.
That's pretty harsh. Them poor dead religious folk are sitting around listening to Jesus and the living church. Well, we got to get this man to Jesus. It wasn't going to be easy as we first thought, but we know once we get him to Jesus, Jesus is going to make him whole. Who's been praying real hard for this homecoming? Who's been praying for a lost and dying soul? And you believe Jesus is going to do something today? Well, you're part of the living church.
Right. Bless the Lord.
Well, preacher, there's been some obstacles. Well, glory to God. If the devil ain't fighting you, he's already got you.
Yeah, man.
As a child of God, you might as well get ready. There's going to be obstacles in your life.
Yes, sir.
And you just need to hang on to Jesus and not worry about what he's doing. Glory to God, he knows he's lost.
Yeah.
He knows he's defeated. He knows his end.
Yeah.
And so does the living church.
Yeah, man.
We know he's already lost.
Yeah.
We spend more time paying attention to a loser instead of looking to the winner.
Yeah,
Jesus Christ.
Heavy.
And living church, they said, well, all right, we're going to take him to the roof. I like what Luke says. Bless you, baby. I like what Luke says. They brought him and they looked and there was no way to get him to Jesus, so they went up to the house and they laid back tiling. You know, I've done some studying about the tiling back in Jesus' day. It was all made of clay, and it was fire heated so it'd be hardened. And you know, every one of those weighed anywhere from 10 pounds to 25 pounds. Now, here's these men working overhead of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the religious dead, and Jesus knows what they're doing.
Yep.
No doubt in my mind, Jesus was blessing their effort because he knew about their faith. But them religious dead, they were busy just sitting by.
Yeah.
I bet you they didn't even look up to see what was going on because they were focused on being in the way instead of being part of the church.
Yeah, man.
See, you know, you think about them tiles. If you drop a 10-pound from, say, 15, 20 feet on somebody's head, somebody's hurt.
Yes, sir.
Back in that day, I'd say it probably was a death sentence. Now think about a 20-pound or 25-pound clay hitting them. See, it takes some very careful work, church, to get souls to Jesus.
Amen.
It takes some faithful work. See, a lot of times we worry about what sinners see, and we get all tore up. Why brought little Johnny, little Susie to church, and brother so-and-so didn't shake their hand? We get all tore up and think that's the important. No, glory to God, sinners don't pay attention to that. What they need to hear is from Jesus Christ,
Amen.
The Lord. They need to hear the Word of God. Don't worry what brother or sister so-and-so did or did not do. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your faith in Jesus. And when you're still doing your work, you say, well, Jesus, I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know which way they're going to get to Jesus, but I believe in my heart they're going to go in front of Jesus.
Amen.
See these four? They didn't say they were men, but he's born of four. You can see these four loved ones. They loved this lost soul. They loved him. And they got to working. And they got to moving. They finally got it open. And they began to lower him. You know what's wrong with why a lot of people are not seeing their loved ones saved? They're too busy trying to get a pat on the back.
Yes,
I've had somebody come to me after a soul was saved, and you say, they said, well, you know, a little Johnny wouldn't have got saved if I wouldn't have got down there and prayed beside him. If it weren't for me praying beside him, little Johnny would still be lost. Think about these four men. They all four had a rope. If one got in a hurry, his end would tilt and the silk of the palsy would have fell out. They had to work together. See, it's not about you getting a name. It's not about you getting first. It's not about you praying with little Johnny so he can get saved. It's all about getting them to Jesus so Jesus can work. Boy, there's a radical and a great clash between the living church and the dead religious.
Yes, there is.
There's a radical difference.
Yes, there is.
With the living church, it's all about Jesus.
Amen.
With the dead religious, it's all about me.
Amen.
It's all about I.
Amen.
Well, glory to God. Jay, you guys keep praying. I don't know how long it'll be for you. There were two men in the temple praying.
Yes, sir.
One a Pharisee and the other a publican.
Right.
And the Pharisee prayed like this: I thank thee, O God, that I'm not like other men, that I'm not like this publican, because I give a tithe of all that I have. It's all about I. And there was the publican, not so much as lifting up his eyes unto heaven, saying, have mercy upon me, O God, for I am a sinner. See the difference between the living church and the religious dead?
Right.
It's all about Jesus.
Amen.
Having mercy.
Amen.
The dead religious, it's all about I.
Yes,
I've done so much at that church. They ought to appreciate me. If it wasn't for me and my family, that church would have folded the doors.
Bless you, Joe.
I got news for you. This church is still here. It has nothing to do with you and your family or the generations before you. It has everything with Jesus being in the midst.
Amen.
Boy, preacher, I didn't talk to Jay. I promise you. I'm just preaching what God gave me.
Yes, sir.
Them men, we're going to get this guy to Jesus. We know once he gets there, Jesus is going to move. And Jesus saw their faith. He said to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee. Go in peace. Well, glory to God. A lot of times people say, well, you know, the sinner's got to be receptive to take Jesus. No, it's going to take your faith every step of the way. It's going to take your believing that God is going to send the Holy Ghost conviction. It's going to take your faith believing that God's going to move in their hearts and reveal to them that they look like in His eyes and that they need Jesus.
Right.
Church, we got a big part being the living church.
Amen.
I believe in a spiritual mother. There's some people who don't believe the church is a spiritual mother. I'm going to tell you something. You read the scripture. She's a spiritual mother. She's Zion. And I love seeing Zion travail.
Amen.
You know, sometimes we get a little wearisome. We're living in a day and the hour. Well, preacher, we're together all the time. Well, glory to God. Praise the Lord. You're a living church.
Amen.
And staying together and working together, eating together, playing together.
Yeah.
God wants us to have fun. Jesus wants us to be a great big family.
Yep.
He wants us to be so much joy with Him that we love being with one another.
Yeah, that's good.
See, that's what it's about, being a part of the living church. We got to show the sinners.
Right.
Thank God I had grandparents on both sides that told me their testimony.
Told
me over and over that Jesus wanted to save me.
Amen.
And when I wasn't receptive, they didn't say, well, that's it, it's over.
Right.
Joe's going to hell. We told him all about it. I gave up. Glory to God, I'm not trying to beat on somebody, but somebody told me once that he had a son-in-law that was so hard-hearted, he couldn't believe that Jesus would ever save him. You know what Jesus did? On Father's Day, that hard-hearted, sinned son-in-law came to church to honor that man, and that's when Jesus saved him.
Amen. Amen.
Why did Jesus save him? Because there was a living church that believed that Jesus
right.
could save.
Yes.
If you're here and you gave up, I love Brother Frank Kelly. You may not never known him, but he told this to a precious widow woman. A dear little sister came to Brother Frank and said, Brother Frank, I've been praying for 35 years for my son to get saved. And it seems like I am the only one praying for him now. Nobody around, no other churches is praying. I'm just going to give up. Brother Frank grabbed her, gave her a hug, and said, "Now, sis, don't you dare give up. You may be the only soul praying for him."
Amen.
He said, "I promise you, I'll be the second."
Amen.
So, church, I don't care how long you've been praying for sinners to get saved. It's no time to give up.
Amen.
They need you. They need you to get your corner, and they need you to do your part and work with the others to get them to Jesus.
Amen.
They need that faith. You know what the dead religious do when God saves souls and God makes a difference? Right away, they got something to say. They said within themselves, "Who is this man that can forgive sin? For God only can forgive sin." They doubted. The religious dead, they don't truly believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
Right.
They don't believe that Jesus is indeed the Christ. They don't have a belief that Jesus can redeem their soul. All they know is, "I got to do the works to get myself to heaven." Glory to God. If that's what got you there, Jesus died in vain,
right,
and his blood was shed in vain. I'm going to tell you, his blood was not shed in vain. It takes blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. That's why Jesus willingly shed his blood on the cross so we could be redeemed.
Yes, sir.
So religious dead, you're going to hell. I'm just going to put it plain. But you know what? There's a worse place than hell. At the great white throne judgment, hell and death shall give up the dead. And hell itself shall be cast in the eternal lake of fire and brimstone. So there is a worse place than hell. There's a place that is for eternity. What about those that died lost? They're going to that eternal lake of fire and brimstone.
Amen.
Where the fires are unquenchable and the worm dieth not. Where there's weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. It's a place, glory to God, you'll be there with an agonizing devil.
Amen.
With an agonizing Satan crying out because he's in torment.
Amen.
And so will you.
That's right.
Because you chose to be a religious dead. See, Jesus preached real hard to people that put all their hope in religion. Oh, man, did he tell them what they looked like and how bitter they were. You know why he did that? Oh, he hated them. No, because he loved them. See, when he preached the Word of God and it revealed how rotten I was and how disgusting I was, I didn't take it that as a personal attack. I took it as he knows everything about me.
Amen.
He's got my number, and I can't hide it. I cannot cover it. So when I called in his name and asked him to save me, glory to God, it was because I knew I was a sinner.
Amen.
See, that's why Jesus
exactly
brings
right.
the word out. Like, it's a love letter. No matter how hard it comes, no matter how harsh it is, he's got to show you what you look like in the eyes of God, because Jesus didn't come to save them that were whole.
Nope.
He came to save them that were lost.
Right.
And until you see yourself as a sinner,
right,
you're not going to be saved.
Amen.
Somebody grabbed a corner this morning to get you to this place. See, Matthew says on a certain day, Jesus entered into Capernaum. Capernaum. And they brought to him a sick of the palsy. And Jesus, seeing their faith, he said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." And he had to address the same religious dead, same speech. He said, "Say not within thyself that I cannot forgive sin on earth." He goes, "But that ye know that I can forgive sin on earth." He saith in parentheses, he saith to the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Arise and take up thy bed and walk." Well, praise God, bless his holy name. Faith is always rewarded. The living church is always rewarded. I want a good paymaster. Well, ask Jesus. There's nothing better than seeing a soul born again and redeemed of the blood.
Amen. Exactly right.
That's great heavenly pay.
Amen.
we just gain, if God saves a soul, we gain another brother or sister on the way to heaven and bruise the head of Satan.
Amen.
And glory to God, heaven will be their eternal home while the devil will burn for eternity.
Amen.
Well, glory.
Amen.
Bless his holy name.
Yes, sir.
I'll probably say this in close. You ever had people come to you after God saves a soul? Do you think they really got it, preacher? You think that one really got saved? You know what? We want to spend more time judging, trying to be the judge in God's throne, than we want to be just believing in Jesus Christ. He didn't say for me to judge if they were saved or lost. He just said that we are to nourish them, cherish the fact that he saved them, and teach them about Jesus.
Amen.
See, the religious dead, they want to tear down everything Jesus gets glory for. Aren't you tired of being religious? Don't you want to glorify Jesus? That's what it's about. Preacher, why are you preaching to church like they're lost? You know, since God saved me and called me to preach, I've seen more church folk get saved than I have probably sinners sometimes, Jay. People have to see where they're at.
Yes, sir.
Being brought up in church is a good thing. But is that where you're hanging your hat and hanging your hope and putting your trust? Because you was brought up in church, that's not going to get you to heaven.
Sir.
See, there's no precious blood of Jesus in that.
Right.
But believing in Jesus and calling his name to save you, that's when that blood gets applied.
Amen.
That's when it makes a difference. That's when you become a child of God.
Amen.
Brother Jay, this is the message the Lord gave me this morning.